Former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin made history this month, securing the official endorsement of the Democratic Party in the first congressional district race, defeating incumbent and longtime Representative John Larson at the party convention. And joining us now is Luke Bronin. Congratulations. How are you?
I'm great, Melissa. Thanks so much for having me on.
So it's interesting. I was just saying to Luke that you and I ran into each other months ago at a state tourism event. And I think I had blatantly said to you, which it was the first time I met you in person, by the way, very kind. But I said to you, I was like, you know, Representative Larson's been in this seat for a really long time. Does that worry you? And you very calmly said to me, no, not really. I think it's time for a change. I mean, talk a little bit about what even made you want to run in this race.
Yeah, I mean, look, I as I've said many times, I've got a lot of respect for John Larson. You know, I'm grateful for the work he's done. He's been in Congress for 28 years, and he would be turning 80 years old in the next term. And more important than all that, I just think he's been kind of doing the same thing for a long time. And we're in a moment in our politics when everything has changed, and everything is changing fast. And if, as a Democratic Party, if we don't realize that we've got to start shaking things up and doing things differently, then I think we're just not going to be a strong enough party to do what we need to do.
So I'm curious why you think, Luke Bronin, there was such support, not because of you as a person, but why you think there was such a shift. I mean, again, you did make history, and I think it's worth really noting that, you know, and I want to talk about your political background, obviously what you did for Hartford and everything, but why do you think that the support came through and, I mean, overwhelmingly you got the endorsement?
I think part of it is that there are a lot of people who feel the same way I do, that, you know, as a Democratic Party, we cannot just keep doing the same thing and think that we're going to get a different result. I think part of it's also that, you know, people feel like I do, that we just have to bring a whole different kind of energy to this fight. And I hope and think that people felt that, you know, over the months of this campaign, you know, as I've been going out to all of the 27 towns in this district and talking to Democrats, I think people can feel a different kind of energy from our campaign. And that's the way I want to serve in Congress, too.
I also noticed, Luke, that enough delegates switched from Larson to State Representative Jillian Gilchrist, which I thought was also interesting. So I do know that there's going to be a primary, but I thought that was really interesting, too, that even the idea of not just putting support behind somebody besides the incumbent, but also pushing for variety in a primary, you know, I don't want to say, does that worry you at all, but do you think that that's healthy to have kind of this, you know, more option in a primary for this position?
Yeah, look, I think you cannot be for democracy and not be for competition. And so I welcome a primary, and I've always expected that this thing is going to be decided by the primary in August. What you're describing, though, is kind of funny, because it was a backroom deal. It was John Larson shifting a bunch of votes over to Jillian Gilchrist because he thought that having more challengers on the ballot would help him win. And then it was, you know, Jillian's team promising that they'd help John get the endorsement because.
Really?
Well, who knows? And so that's what, I mean, there's a lot of reporting on that deal. But from my perspective, it doesn't really change anything. My mission was always the same, which is to, you know, reach as many delegates as possible in that room and win it. And we did. But the next 90 days are going to be a lot of work every minute, every day, to make sure that we're reaching every voter around this district. And I do think that when voters recognize that they really have a choice for the first time in 30 years in this district, that voters are going to choose change.
And I mean, here's the thing that I think is really important, Luke, because we are located here in Milford. We cover a lot of kind of, I'd say, southwestern Connecticut, the Valley and lower New Haven County. Like that's kind of our, in Fairfield County is sort of, I would say, our yep. bread and butter here on WACC. But here's where I think it matters. We should absolutely know everybody who is representing us in Washington, because not only are you going to be, if you are elected into this position, you know, representing that area of Hartford, but you also can have very important roles in federal government, right? I mean, I want to talk about kind of the role that you would be taking on if elected into the first congressional district seat.
Sure. I mean, first of all, I think it's also important to say we're a small state, you know, and so everybody in every part of this state, I think we rise and fall together as a state. And so who serves Connecticut from any part of the state matters everywhere.
I totally agree. And what made you want to run? I know, I mean, I guess we could start there, actually. Again, Luke Bronin is here, who's the former Hartford mayor. So I'm familiar with you, Mayor Bronin, because I'm a news reporter. But for my listeners, you know, talk a little bit about your political resume, if you will, your background.
Sure. I mean, for a long time, I was doing policy work and public service, but not elected office. You know, I served in the I was in the military. I was a Navy reservist, but I deployed to Afghanistan as a Navy intelligence officer on the anti-corruption task force over there. I served for 4 years in the Obama administration at the Treasury Department. So, you know, was part of the team that was helping to build the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau after the financial crisis to try to protect Americans from corporate financial abuse. And then I shifted over to the national security side for a while. Then I came back to Connecticut and served as the chief legal counsel to our prior governor for a couple years. And then I ran for mayor in 2015 and served for 8 years as the mayor of Hartford through some really challenging times. You know, I came in as mayor of Hartford when the city was bankrupt, but nobody had told it yet. And we worked really hard to get to a place of you know, stability and get the city growing again for the first time in a long time. And we did that just in time to smack into the pandemic and then, you know, push through that and begin a new recovery. So, you know, I've had the chance to serve in a bunch of different ways and in a bunch of different places. And the truth is I, you know, had not really expected to run a race like this, but when the Democratic Party, when we lost to Donald Trump for a second time, in part because President Biden didn't recognize that it was time to pass the torch. And then when the Democratic Party's response just felt so weak and so unfocused, I just felt like we are in a crisis and the Democratic Party is not meeting this moment right now.
Do you feel that way with other? I mean, so it's interesting because one of the things that I personally like about you, Luke Bronin, is I think that you are unapologetically authentic. And what I mean by that is I think that you say it like it is, but you're very kind, I will say. But you have brought up, you know, as much as, yes, you do respect, obviously, Representative Larson, you have brought up age and you have brought up that, like, look, I think that sometimes when you've served, even regardless of age, if you've served for a really long time, it you need to kind of get new perspective, new insight, yep. You know, new people sometimes to take on those positions. And I'm wondering your thoughts of other leadership roles at the federal level, specifically to Connecticut. I mean, we have other people who have been serving in their roles for a very, very long time, regardless of age, have been in there a long time. And do you think that Connecticut voters in general should be looking at that when we talk about our representation in Washington, which they all happen to be Democratic? But I'm just wondering your thoughts on that.
I think that we're going to get some change in our federal leadership sooner than later. But I think the core point is what you just said. When you know, I think it's the rare person in almost any area of life who can do the same thing for 30 years and not get stuck in a certain way of doing it, you know, and that's why you need that renewal every once in a while. That's why any organization, any company, any, you know, institution, you need new perspectives coming in every once in a while. And I mean, think about Congress right now and the fact that, I mean, you could take any number of issues, but think about artificial intelligence, which is about to turn our world upside down in so many ways. You've got a bunch of AI safety issues, a bunch of children's safety issues, and you've also got the huge economic disruption that's coming. I'll just stick to John Larson. I don't think John Larson's even asking the questions, you know, let alone coming up with answers for how we get ahead of that. And I think that's why, it's one example of why you just need some new blood down there.
And we are chatting with Luke Bronin, who is the former mayor of Hartford. But recently he made history securing the official endorsement of the Democratic Party in the first congressional district race, defeating incumbent Representative John Larson at the party convention. And I want to talk about kind of your goals, obviously, if elected in November, Luke, but I want to go back to something that you said before, which was what we saw, you know, nationally and kind of the Democratic Party and the response prior to now President Trump getting a second wind, if you will, in the White House. Where do you think the Democratic Party kind of is now? I mean, it's interesting because we were looking at convention weekend just here in Connecticut over this past weekend. And, much to kind of what you were just talking about, I did find it surprising, but also I think encouraging, because it's the first time in well over a decade that Connecticut Democrats will get a primary for the gubernatorial race. Josh Elliott had more, had the 25%. And so they're going to have a primary. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's allowing Democratic voters for the first time to be able to really have options. And so I wanted to kind of get your take on where you think the Democratic Party is now.
I mean, first of all, look, I agree. I think it's good for the Democratic Party to have competition. I think back to 2024. I think that's one of the reasons that we didn't come into that election strong is that we didn't get the chance to have a real primary process. We didn't have the chance to have a sort of battle of different visions and different voices, and pick a candidate, who could carry the torch coming into 2024. And unfortunately, Joe Biden's decision to run for a second time when he shouldn't have kind of deprived us of that chance. So I want to see more competition in this party. That's how you get a healthier, stronger party. I mean, more broadly, what I'd say is I think the Democratic Party has a real opportunity to take back the House this year. And that's partly because people are so angry about what the Trump administration is doing. And I've realized that Donald Trump was lying when he said he was going to focus on cost of living and try to make life more affordable for everybody. It's done the exact opposite. But the challenge for the Democratic Party is, can we do more than just ride the backlash? I think we could win the House back just by riding the backlash to Donald Trump. But we have to do more than that. We have to actually lay out a vision and then fight like hell for that vision to make sure that we are making life better for Americans. And to me, that's issues like, fundamental reform of healthcare, and a housing market that's broken, and electricity prices that are going through the roof, and a tax code that is broken so that, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos pay a fraction of a percent, while everybody else is carrying the burden. Those are things that we have to tackle with real clarity and boldness and courage. And we need to actually get stuff done when we get the ability to do it again, because I think a lot of people are losing faith in our politics altogether.
What would you say are some of your biggest, sticking points, if you will? If you get elected in November, what would be kind of some of your first line of business?
Look, I mean, we have to remember that Donald Trump is still going to be president for the next 2 years. And in all likelihood, the Republicans are still going to control the Senate. So I don't think we should be, under any illusion that we're going to get huge pieces of legislation enacted into law while Donald Trump is president. What we can do is stop or slow the damage that Trump is doing. We can demand real accountability using the oversight tools that we've got. And then we can build an agenda so that, after we win the White House and the Senate and the House in 2028, we are able to move with the same kind of speed, that they pushed the disastrous Project 2025, that we can move with the same kind of speed on issues that actually matter to the American people, like the ones I just talked about, healthcare, housing, electricity, tax reform. Go down the list, but be ready to push with real speed and a real sense of urgency.
What, from your experience here in Connecticut, Luke, can you bring to the federal level? So, for example, you bring up health care, and I agree. I mean, our health care system is disastrous. And the only reason I can say that is because my father has actually a health insurance brokerage here in Fairfield. He's had it for many, many years. And my husband works there. My brother, they all work there. So I've been able to watch it from the front lines for over 30 years. And what I find troubling, though, is like even here in Connecticut, we've had year after year after year of legislative sessions where we could have widened our marketplace. We could have created more programs that could have worked for small businesses like association plans. We could have had more of a Connecticut public option for individuals and families, but we didn't do it. We didn't do it for a third year in a row, actually. And so I'm curious, and again, that's not on you, but I'm wondering the experience of what we are seeing here in Connecticut. We bring up utility costs. We're kind of failing at that, too, to some degree. Yeah. I mean, if you look at our bills. So what can we do at the federal level that I hope would be different than what we're doing in Connecticut, because I don't think we're hitting the mark in our state.
No, I mean, I think our healthcare system right now is so broken. It's there's so much consolidation now of, you know, insurance companies that also own pharmacy benefit managers that also own medical providers and are extracting just a huge amount of profit out of the system. We need really fundamental reform. And I think that the real reform needs to come at the federal level. You know, as important as Obamacare was, it didn't go nearly far enough. And, you know, it didn't even offer a true public option at the time. So we need to push for that deeper reform at the federal level. And I think we're getting to a moment where that may become possible because everybody knows how broken it is. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. Even if you have a decent healthcare plan, your premiums are high, your deductible, your copays are through the roof. You can't get an appointment, you know, even when you need one. It's just not working, and I think everybody knows it. So there's an example where the politics may change because of the pain that people are feeling, and we need to be serious about building a coalition to make that change. You know, on electricity is another example where the solution really does have to come at the federal level. We need a real national commitment to modernizing our electricity grid and our electricity sources. Our infrastructure is ancient. And you got the Trump administration doubling down on, you know, coal, oil, gas. You know what doesn't get stuck in the Straits of Hormuz? You know, sun, wind, safe, you know, small scale nuclear. There's a range of renewable energy sources that we should be investing in. And right now we're going backwards. But the federal government can play a huge role in modernizing, you know, our energy system and bringing costs down over the long term.
Luke Bronin, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And I'm sure we're going to be talking again really soon, but I really appreciate your time here on WICC. And certainly if I don't speak to you before the primary, good luck. And like I said, we'll definitely talk in the near future, I hope.
Thanks so much, Melissa. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Again, that is former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin, who officially secured the endorsement of the Democratic Party in the first congressional district earlier this month, defeating incumbent Representative John Larson. There is going to be a primary later this summer, so we'll keep an eye on that and keep you posted right here on WICC.